I believe that God wants us to begin to understand that there are things that God has for us to move us out of just the regular life that we are living. And many times we misunderstand blessing and we misunderstand what God has for us, and we begin to twist that to our own desires and our own definitions of blessing and of what God wants to do for us, when He really has a deeper purpose to all that He has. And so we're going to be talking about that for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And I believe that as we open our heart to it, God is going to be able to give us hopefully some freedom from things that have held us back. Because many times, because we have a wrong picture of the blessing, it begins to become enslave our hearts and our minds. When we become disappointed with God, we begin deal with the discouragement because God is not responding the way that we think He should. So today, in this first week, I want to look at this story in Genesis, and we're going to be in Genesis chapter 25, starting in verse 29. And this is probably a story that most of you know and are familiar with, but I think there's some deeper things that we need to see here and begin to let God speak to us. Genesis 25, verse 29 says, "Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Let me eat some of the red stew, for I am exhausted.' And therefore his name was called Edom," which is a word for red. It's that he was, not only was he supposedly red and hairy, but he loved the red meat and the stew. "And Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright right now.' And Esau said, 'I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me now.' And so he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And so Jacob gave Esau the bread and lentil stew, and he ate and he drank, and he rose and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright." As we look at the blessing of God, one example of the blessing that God wants to begin to bring to us is this idea of the birthright. The birthright was an important blessing that came down through the family. In general, the birthright was seen in all families, but the birthright that Jacob and Esau referred to was a little bit different. So we need to ask ourselves, when we talk about the birthright, the blessing of the birthright, what is it? What was it that Esau was so willing to sell and Jacob was so eager to receive? Because we see there's both sides. One person despised it, but one person valued it. So what is the birthright? Of course, when we look in society and culture at that time, the birthright was the inheritance. It was the authority. It was the title of the family. It was the eldest son was able to become the chief of the tribe, and they would become that person who had authority, had the title, he had the ownership, he had the status of that. And so the birthright was one of material wealth as well as relational power and inheritance. This, when we look at the story of Jacob and Esau, this is really not the birthright that Jacob received and purchased with this sale. And it's not the birthright which Esau gave up. Because if we will look throughout the whole story that we know what happened from there, that Jacob not only got the birthright, but he also stole the blessing from his father and then ran for his life. But throughout his time, we see that Esau still received the inheritance. Esau still received authority and title. He got all the family's wealth. And so if Jacob really got this, and if Esau sold it, that would not have been the case. Because in that time, they were very sticklers on covenants and contracts and agreements. And if Esau had made this contract, Jacob would have been able to, even if it was because of under duress, Jacob would have stood up and demanded his right to have all of these things. And yet he never did. Even later when he came back, it says that when he met Esau, it said he referred to him as my Lord. And so he acknowledged Esau still as the elder son, as the head of the family. And so what is the birthright that Jacob was so eager to get if he didn't get any inheritance? Because he came back with his own wealth, but he took none of the family inheritance. He didn't come back with the authority and title of the family. So what was it? The birthright that Jacob realized was so valuable was the birthright that he had heard growing up. Now, understand that Jacob and Esau, when they were born, Abraham was still alive. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all alive at the same time. And I forget the ages, but they were maybe 15 to 20 years old when Abraham died. So they had heard the stories of Abraham. They had heard the stories that God had come and promised Abraham a great promise, that Abraham was able to receive this promise that God would make him that he would bless him so that he could be a blessing to the whole world. That out of Abraham was going to come this promise of the Messiah, that the whole world was going to be saved and redeemed through Abraham. This was the promise all the way through Isaac and to those children. And so Jacob and Esau would have heard these stories of the birthright that through our family, God's going to bring life to the whole world. There was something in Jacob that began to understand the blessing of the birthright that God had promised. That it was in this promise of the Messiah, in this promise of through them the whole world would be blessed, that Jacob realized, that's what I want. God, what is more important than God flowing through me to touch the world? What does it matter? And this is what Jesus said, and this is what Jacob realized. What does it matter if I gain the whole world, but I'm nothing? But I don't make any difference. I lose my own soul. So he realized that what the real birthright was that the birthright was to be the conduit of blessing. That if you want to know blessing, there is no blessing like God using you, like God pouring through you, that you become the very source of life to others. That it was going to be, Jacob said, I want to be that through my line, Jesus will come. Of course, they didn't have a name, that the Messiah would come. Esau, he said, who cares if the Messiah comes through my family? See, he didn't value it. He had no care for the blessings of God in the world. All he cared about was what I can get, what I need right now. I don't need a birthright right now. I need some food. I need what I want. And so he did not realize what the blessing was. And many times we don't realize what the true blessing is. We think the blessing is what benefits me. And God wants us to know that this promise to be a blessing went beyond Jacob. Now here's the great verse that comes after this. Because we might say, well, that's great for Jacob because he became the lineage that through Jacob came the Messiah. And that is a great blessing. That's a great honor. But what does that have to do with me? Because Jesus is not coming again. And so I am not going to be the one that brings the Messiah. And yet that is not true. Because here's the thing, God wants you to be the person that brings Messiah to your world, to your neighborhood, to your workplace. God wants to so fill you. This is the mystery. The mystery of the gospel is Christ in us. That Christ is not going to come just through Jacob, but that Christ can come through you. You can be the bearer of Christ to your world. In fact, that's what you are called to be. That the promises that God gave Abraham are the promises God gives you. That God will make you such a blessing that through you, someone may be changed. You know, Paul put it this way, I'm willing to even suffer. I'm willing to not get what I want. I'm willing to lose what I want so that someone else can receive that. When you begin to experience that, then you'll know what true contentment and fulfillment is. Because there is a feeling, there is a sense of purpose that only comes when you die to yourself and you are used by God. That you know what, it's hard to understand. People in this world cannot understand it. How can I be happy if I don't get what I think I need? And yet it goes beyond our understanding. And yet God's Holy Spirit is calling out for people that are willing to hear that. That are people that are willing to understand that message, that there is a blessing in being a servant. There is a blessing that comes when you begin to love your enemy. There is a blessing that comes that you begin to understand that your life means something when you begin to lay down your own desires for what God wants to do. It says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it says, for in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, now listen to this, then you are Abraham's offspring, and you are heirs according to the promise. Here's the promise. Here's what the birthright is. The birthright is not just Jacob's. The birthright can be yours today. Are you willing to be like Jacob and say, I want the birthright? I want Christ to come through me. It says that if you are in Christ, all the promises to Abraham are yours. If you are in Christ, God will begin to give you the ability to bring Christ out of your life into this world, to those that are broken, to those that are hungry, to those that are thirsty. You can give life. You can bring the Messiah just as Jacob brought the Messiah through his line. If we are in Christ, we are children of Abraham. We are now in the line of Christ. Because God wants to do a spiritual work in our heart to give us that birthright. But here's the thing, do we desire it? Are we like Jacob that we desire to be used by God? I just want to be a conduit for God to flow through me. Do you desire that? Do you understand that there is more sense of joy when God uses you than you receiving all the things of this world? Or are we going to be like Esau, who just can't see the value in being used by God? So here's the next question. We need to see the perspective of the birthright, because the birthright takes a specific perspective to receive this birthright, to receive the ability to be the conduit of the Messiah, to be the conduit of God's blessings. We need to begin to understand that our perspective needs to be changed. First of all, we need to understand our perspective of the future versus the present. See, Esau couldn't see this. Esau was caught up in now. What does it matter? He said, what good is a birthright? The Messiah is not here. The Messiah is not coming to life. What good is that if I die? See, all he saw was now. We need to understand that now is so temporary. And if we get caught up in the deception of now, we forfeit the future. And the future becomes eternal. It becomes something that We either live in regret or we live in the fruit of the harvest. Too many times, if we live in the present, if all we focus on is what my circumstance is now, and we get so upset at that, and we let our current circumstances and our emotions get the most of us, that it robs our future. We need to begin to get a future perspective, that even if I'm hurting right now, I'm going to trust God for my future. Don't get so invested in the now, because right now circumstances may be hard. Right now, circumstances, you are tired and you are hungry. And look at this. He even thought he was going to die, which that wasn't even going to, is the truth. And yet sometimes we so expand the present, and we're going to get there, that it leads us into deception. And so we need to begin to have a future output, a future outlook, begin to see what God has for us, that it does not compare to now. Let's look at the verse in Philippians chapter 3. This is what Paul tells us. He says, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. For their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who he will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." You see, Paul says we need to understand that even though we are in this world, our citizenship is in heaven, and we are waiting eagerly for our Savior to come back and get us. And if in the meantime we might have to suffer, then so be it, because when he comes back, I'm going to stand and rejoice, and it will be worth it all. Are we willing to look forward rather than to be those who he calls an enemy of the cross, because they live for now? They live for what they can put in their belly. They live for what they can get right now. And yet they forfeit the coming kingdom that God says he will transform us, and he's going to bring glory to us in the future. Well, not only do we need to begin to look in the future, but it says that the birthright takes a perspective of spiritual versus physical. Many times we get so caught up in the physical, we get so caught up in what I feel and what I need and what I can touch and what I can see, that I forget that there's a spiritual truth that is way deeper than my physical truth. When we see other people, we judge them based on the physical. We get so upset at them because of the physical circumstances. We get so upset on things that don't go our way, and we need to understand that there is a spiritual principle and there is a spiritual warfare that is going on, that the enemy wants you to keep focused on what you can feel and see and touch. But it's more about what God is doing in your spirit, that God is preparing us for when the true physical comes, because see, this world is passing away. This physical is not going to be the last. There is coming a physical world that will be forever. We are going to live in a physical world. We're not going to live in heaven floating around in clouds playing harps with angels. We are going to live in a paradise of a world, the Garden of Eden that God has planned from the very beginning. But this physical that we live in now is passing away. See, it's cancerous with sin. It is filled with the destruction of our own greed that we have made it. And so we need to begin to develop the spiritual man. We need to begin to say, God, grow me in my spirit that I can receive the spiritual birthright that will prepare me to receive the final physical blessing. Romans 8:13 says this, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." Pretty straightforward. If you're focused on the flesh in this life, if you want to have your greatest life now, nope, well, pun intended for a book named that, now is not when you have your greatest life. And if you reach for that, you will die, because that life will kill you. This life is not our life. It is fading away. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You see, sometimes we just have to trust God in our spirit. It may not always be easy, because in the flesh we don't see it. But when we begin to trust God, and just we need to, sometimes it's almost like you just got to repeat it. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to give in to this anger. I'm not going to give in to this greed. I'm not going to give in to these desires. I'm not going to give in to the despair. I'm going to trust God. Because our flesh wants to give in to those things. But the Spirit of God will strengthen us. And we need to begin to let the Spirit of God grow within us. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, here it is again, we are heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. We have a birthright. There is a birthright that is ours, no matter what the world tells you, no matter what you tell yourself. No matter what we see, we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, provided. Then we know that the things that we are going through do not compare to what God has planned for us. That means if we struggle through some things, it's okay. It's God's plan. And sometimes we get so mad, but if that's God's plan, I'm angry with him because it's not fair. You need to understand that we are seeing so limiting. We are not seeing the whole picture. And the things that we get mad at God about that are not fair, we need to understand that they are totally fair, because he is purchasing for us something that we never deserve, something that's much greater than what we're losing now, that if you were able to see them side by side, you would gladly give up the now for what he has offered. We need to understand that the sufferings of this present time do not compare to the glory that is going to be revealed into us. So we need to understand that the spirit is more important than the physical. And finally, we need to understand that the real is more important than the deception. Now, the problem is we think what's real is what we can see and what we're dealing with. And yet, we need to understand that there is a deception. The enemy deceives us that what we think is real is really only temporary. Another way to put this is there's the eternal versus the temporal. What's real, this world is not real. It's real, but it's not the ultimate real. It's not the ultimate reality. This real is vanishing away. And we need to not fall into the deception. The deception is that, this was the deception. Esau said it. What did Esau say? I'm gonna die if I don't get that soup. Was that really true? No, that was not true. He was not gonna die. He could probably live for days without eating. And yet, we fall into the same deception. God, I'm going to die if I don't have this. My life is meaningless without this. And we let the deception, it starts small, but it actually grows to where it controls us. And that deception of what we define as real, and we define as what I need to have, that deception is controlling us. And the enemy is laughing over us, because we embrace the deception rather than embracing the reality of what God says. Even though some of the things that God says have not come to pass yet, we still need to say, I'm going to believe what the Word of God says, and not fall into the deception of what I think I need, and even what I feel I need. And sometimes it's hard to separate that reality, because in our heart we really are discouraged, and we truly are going through that pain. But in the midst of that pain, we cannot let it control us. We can acknowledge it. I'm not trying to say, you know, you need to tell yourself I'm not hurting. Yes, you're hurting, but you are acknowledging that I understand that this hurt and this pain is of this world. And I'm choosing to trust in God that this will pass. This will move, but God has a plan for me. You see, that's what we need to begin to reach out with a heart of faith to receive the birthright. That's where we need to be a Jacob that is willing to say, I will sell everything to get the birthright. I'm not going to sell out and lose my birthright. Are we willing to see through the deception and not fall into those things, even when everything within us is crying out and screaming? We need to understand that Jesus said he has not given us a spirit of slavery. Yes, we may suffer. Yes, it may hurt. We don't deny that. But in the midst of that, we lean on Christ and we trust him. Jeremiah 17 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? We need to understand our heart is deceitful. This flesh of disease, you're going to face things that you're going to want so much. And it's hard not to give in, but you need to understand, don't follow your heart. No matter what the world and all the songs tell you, you don't follow your heart. You make your heart follow the word of God. He says again in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, I am afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. We need to be careful. Are our thoughts being led astray? Are we being pulled because of the deceptive thoughts of our own emotions or the deceptive thoughts of our own needs, what we think we need or what we think other people see in us? We are deceived in that way. 1 John tells us this, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into this world. We need to begin to test the spirits. Test the spirit of our own emotion. Is this from God or is it just me? Many times we know and we deny it, but we need to begin to say, I'm going to rebuke these things and I'm going to begin to trust in God. Well, the last thing we look at is the sellouts of the birthright. Because here's the thing. We are all going to be faced with a choice to sell out our birthright. You see, God wants to use you to bring Christ into the world. God wants your life to be a conduit of blessing. But we always have the choice to sell out for ourselves. Esau sold out his birthright. Esau sold out being able to be in the line of the Messiah just for a bowl of soup. You might think, you know, that's crazy. Such a blessing to be used by God, to be the conduit of the presence of God in the world, to bring salvation and redemption just for a bowl of soup. And yet we do the same thing. We sell out what God can do for us for little things. Now the problem is in our mind, we're like Esau. A bowl of soup is way more valuable. What's this blessing of God? I can't see it. I can't touch it. I'll never even know about it. This is something I can feel and touch. We need to change our value. I know it goes against our nature, but those things are not as valuable as what God has done for us and what God wants to do through us. 1 John chapter 2 says this, Do not love the world or the things in the world, for if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride in possessions or the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. You see, there's three things that we sell out. He talks about, he says, don't love the world. Don't love the things of the world. Don't love your status in the world, what you think people are looking at, because this world is passing away. What's the first thing it says? It says that we sell out for because of the lust of the flesh. He says there's three things that we sell out for. We will sell out God for the lusts of the flesh. In other words, the things that touch this body. You know, I'm tired, and so I can't do what God wants me to do. And we sell out. You might say, I would never sell out for God, and yet we're doing it in little ways all the time. How many times do we not spend time in Word? Because you know what, I'm upset and I don't feel like reading my Bible right now. Or we can't come together as the body of Christ because of something. You know, we let the physical things direct our life. We begin to let the things of pleasure, physical pleasure, food, and other things begin to direct our actions. And we sell out for the lust of the flesh, the physical nature. Even sickness, hurts, and pleasures, we will sell out for. We need to understand that God is more important than this body and the pleasures of this body and what we feel. It is not until we begin to say, God, you're more important than my pleasure, that we begin to receive the birthright. The other thing it talked about is not only the lust of the flesh, but the lust of the eyes. What is the lust of the eyes? The lust of the eyes is that self-fulfillment. That you know what, I just want these things. This would be great to do. It's the pleasure, it's the emotional pleasure. You see, there's the physical pleasure, but then there's the emotional pleasure of doing what I want, of having this thing, and enjoying this experience, and having all the things that people can see. And we sell out for the lust of the eyes, the things that look good, the things that, man, other people are doing this, so I want this. That's the lust of the eyes. It's that sense of what I think I want. It's my desires. It goes beyond the physical to the emotional pleasure of life. And then the final one, of course, is the pride of life. And the pride of life is that self-image. And this is the one thing that our culture is so big on. You know what? If you're not fulfilled, then you're missing out. And you need to fulfill who you are, the pride of life. You need to make the most of it. And you need to begin to be all you can be. This is the pride of life. And yet we sell out what God wants to do in us, because we've lost the fact that who we are and our image and our definition does not come from who we are, what we do, what we accomplish, what we have. You are valuable only because of what God says about you. And yet if we define ourselves in ways that I have to have this, then you are selling out to what God says. We need to begin to say, I am not going to sell out my birthright. God, I want you to use me in such a way that I am yours, that I'm not going to put descriptions of how I will enjoy life that you need to follow. We sometimes tell God how he needs to respond, and I'm not going to be happy if you don't do that. We need to begin to say, God, make me happy no matter what. Even if I don't get what I want, I am going to be happy in you. You see, this is where the blessing comes. This is the birthright when it becomes our pleasure. You see, it's when God himself is our pleasure, when God himself becomes our purpose for living, you will be happier than everyone else that is getting all the things that they want. Because all the things they want is soon going to shrivel up and become regret in their life. And it's going to let them down. But God will never let us down. So we need to begin to stop selling out for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All of these things begin to blind us to the true blessing of the birthright that God can pour through you. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of disappointment, but you have a bigger purpose than that. And I think the enemy does not want you to know that. That you're bigger and you're more valuable than just being rich or being the boss or having what you want and other people looking up to you. See, you're more valuable than that. God wants you to be a child of God, that you have a bigger purpose, that even Jesus came to be a servant. And in that, he was lifted up to sit at the right hand of God. That if we will begin to embrace the birthright, and embracing the birthright might mean that we, like Jacob, have to run for our life. What did it cost Jacob to receive the birthright? You notice that it cost him his life, his family. He never saw his mom again after that. Are you willing to pay the price to receive the birthright of God, to have Christ in you, to know that you are an heir of Christ, that one day you will receive all the blessing and the glory that God has? But it's going to cost you. You might have to run for your life. You might never get what other people have. And some of us just, well, I can't accept that. And that's going to be a sad moment when you stand before God just because you can't accept not having what other people have, and yet you'll lose what God has for you. We need to begin to humble ourselves and say, I'm not going to sell out. I'm not going to give in to these feelings that I'm worthless, because you're not worthless. God has spoken over you. And even if you don't have things in this world, even if you have to sacrifice things, you're going to be able to stand on that day and hear God say, welcome in. Now come in and enjoy the fruit along with everyone else, with your true family. And it is going to be uncomparable joy. So let's not sell out, but let's receive the birthright no matter what the cost, no matter what we have to do to receive it.